All right, we've been talking about Jesus and the Word, and by that we mean the number of things, great number of things, 50 of them in my list, things that are said about the written Scriptures and about the Lord Jesus Christ. What's all but destroyed Christianity in America is people who, quote-unquote, follow Jesus but don't follow the Bible. And people who love the Lord but have no respect for the Word of the Lord, and that's how you end up with all this apostasy and all these nonsensical churches. But let's start tonight in John 14 and John 17. This is an easy one. John chapter 14 and John chapter 17. John 14, John 17. This verse you know, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Anybody believe that?
Amen.
Jesus is the truth. Now, John 17, verse 17. John 17, verse 17. Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
And I don't know how many people are left in the world. I mean this. I'm not trying to exaggerate. I don't know how many people left in the world that believe that just as true as is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, just that true is the book that you have in your lap. And I believe that. Not many people do. We're doing this class this spring in a Bible school on the different cults and the heresies and divisive sects and so forth. And I'll tell you what they all have in common. Every one of their official statements is that the Bible is not correct. Some of them will say it was without error in the original writings, but it's no longer that. But most of them say you can't believe the Bible, you can't trust the Bible, the Bible's full of errors, the Bible's full of mistakes. And then you read the official positions of the Protestant churches and the conservative churches and the fundamental churches and the Bible colleges, and it's the exact same statement. Now, I don't know any of these groups that say Jesus Christ was true originally, but he's no longer true. Or Jesus said a lot of things that were true, but much of what he said we should be skeptical about because we don't really agree with him. Now, why would you say that about the Bible, which is his word, and you wouldn't say that about the words that he himself spoke? And so we believe that not only is Jesus the truth, but the Bible is the truth. And that's vitally important, and I'll show you why in the next two comparisons. Come to Revelation 19 and Hebrews chapter 4. Revelation chapter 19 and Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's read the Revelation passage first. This is Jesus Christ at his second coming, which might be this year.
Amen.
So the year's almost over. I know, but he could come for his church by the end of this year. But this is the second coming, set up his kingdom, so 7 years out from the rapture, if the rapture happens tonight. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness, wrath of Almighty God. So when Jesus Christ returns, a sharp sword proceeds out of his mouth. I don't think he's a reverse sword swallower. Well, then what could it be? So, well, it's poetic language, it's figurative language. I don't think so. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, here's what we're dealing with today in our religious world, and we have to constantly address it even in our church so we don't go astray. Here's the issue. Jesus, I prayed, and Jesus told me this was okay. I talked to my friends who love Jesus, and they told me it was okay. And my question is, what did God say in his word?
Yeah. Amen.
Not the Jesus whose voice you hear in the middle of the night. Not the Jesus who always agrees with you. Not the Jesus who rubber stamps all of your actions.
Amen.
What does the book say? Because here's the point of reference. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's on a white horse, and a sword is coming out of his mouth to slaughter people who disagreed with him. No religion in the world believes that Jesus would do that. I mean, there's a handful of churches left like ours that take the Word of God literally, and we believe in a real valley called Megiddo, at a battle called Armageddon, the blood is going to flow as high as the reins on a horse bridle, and Jesus is going to do that to the people who have been killing and persecuting his children for all those years. And you know what people say? Well, I don't think Jesus would do that. You know why? Because their Jesus is disconnected from the Bible. I just don't think a loving God would do that to anybody. Now, if you apply that on a worldwide scale, you're going to apply that on a personal level. I'm about to sin willfully against the Word of God. But I know Jesus won't do anything about it because he loves me. Where'd you get that idea? You didn't get it from the book. So if this Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, and if that two-edged sword comes out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, what should I let this book do? Keep me from the Jesus who approves of my misconduct and pierce me when I get out of line. That's what I want. That's what I need. When I go on the internet and I look for preaching, and I look for preaching that is going to pierce me to the heart. I look for preaching that's going to get down to the level of my soul and my spirit and cut good away from bad and cut error away from truth. I don't want to be deceived by a Jesus of my own imagination. I get sent clips. I get sent a lot of clips. Watch this, what this man said at this church, and watch what this man said. And honestly, I'm trying to be biblical. I can't pay any attention to what he says because he's standing in a pulpit in a church looking like he's ready to play beach volleyball. And on the platform behind him is a man who should be ashamed.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Because it's a shame, the Bible says, for a man to have long hair. But he sings so good, and he even sang with Gaither for all those years. And I got a woman standing there, and in her mind, she's a size 6. But in reality, she's a 16, but the yoga pants were bought for the size 6, and there she stands with her microphone and singing her little praise songs, and their Jesus is okay with that. But if they ever consulted the sword that came out of his mouth, they'd cut it out. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear Christians that, I get it. I don't go about with this, I'm the man of God, don't touch God's anointed. But really, you can't talk to me without cussing? What language must you use for your work buddies? Well, Jesus is okay with it. Did you ever ask him? Did you ever consult his book? If you consulted his book, he'd say, no filthy communication out of your mouth. But if you don't consult his book, the Lord, he was a man. He probably talked this way too. You're an idiot. Jesus didn't go around cussing and swearing and using filthy language. So what are we saying? You gotta love Jesus, but you gotta love his book, because Jesus without the Bible is probably not ever going to get to the heart of the matter. You won't let him. Fair enough. All right. Now watch. Look at the next one. Psalm 11 and Psalm 105. Psalm 11 and Psalm 105. Psalm number 11 and Psalm 105. I'll let you in on a couple of little personal secrets that I've probably never told you before. That got your attention, didn't it? Number one, I don't want to get arrested. Number two, I don't want to get convicted. Number three, I don't want to go to prison. Now, here's how I avoid that. Not by doing what I feel is right in my heart, but by finding out what the written law that governs the land in which I live requires of me. Because if I go to court and I am put on trial, the basis of that judgment is not going to be how I felt about it, or if I had peace about it, or if I had a Facebook group that told me it was okay. So since I don't want to go to prison, I don't want to just go by what somebody told me was acceptable. I want to go by what's written in the pages of the legal documents so I'm not found in violation. You know, I hope the Lord's pleased with me. Well, have you checked the documents? I hope what I'm doing is okay. Well, who'd you consult? Look at Psalm number 9. Where are we here? Psalm number 11 and verse number 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Okay, so the Lord trieth the righteous. Look at Psalm 105 and verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. So here's what I want to know. Because maybe some of you are brand new Christian. Maybe some of you have been saved a while, but you're brand new to Bible preaching and Bible teaching and an emphasis on this book. Here's what I want to know. Not what do the reviewers say about that movie. What does God say about that movie? Well, you know, the Lord, I just feel like going down the movies. I don't see anything wrong with it. Is that a good guide? I don't see anything wrong with it. How about, does God see anything wrong with it? So let me take you way, way back in time. Back in the olden days when our children were teenagers. And in the church lobby back there, there was a woman telling a group of young ladies, her daughter was one, my daughter was one, that they ought to all go see the movie Titanic because it was a wonderful love story. So, I hadn't seen it. You hadn't seen it. So, I heard her say that, and it was all the rage at the time, so I had read the synopsis of the movie. The love story is, a girl in rebellion against her parents is fornicating on a boat with a stranger. Yeah. And I looked at that woman, I said, girls, do not listen to this woman. Yeah. Sexual sin is not love. And it doesn't matter how anybody feels about it, God wrote it in his book. Now, what's the safe way to try something? How you feel about it? How your friends feel about it? Or what God said about it? Well, you know, I've got friends and, you know, they're kind of, they're in a same sex marriage. And they both loved Jesus. I never thought I'd hear that. But I hear that. Well, they talked to their Jesus and he told them it was okay. But in Romans chapter number 1, he said it was an evidence that they had strayed so far from him that he had given them over to a reprobate mind. And that if I were to have pleasure in what they were doing, I would be complicit in their sin against the Lord. Now, you know what? When you say that in a church today, half the congregation goes, "Oh, I don't know about that. Why would you get squeamish about a position that is so clearly biblical unless your influence is television, not the Word of God, or social media, not the Word of God? So what we're saying is we want our parents and our young people and our businessmen and our husbands and our wives, we don't want us to make decisions based on what we think Jesus is okay with, but on what the Word of God says Jesus is okay with. Amen. Well, how far would you take that? Well, I'll show you how far you'd take it. Look in, see if I can find it here, John chapter 12 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at John 12 and 2 Timothy chapter 4. I preach those lovely messages about Jesus born in the manger and the church grows, and then I preach like I'm preaching tonight and the church shrinks and then it grows and then it shrinks, but we... trying to cultivate some Christianity here. Now look at John chapter... Now I'll read you the Timothy verse first. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as his appearing and his kingdom. So who's going to judge saints and sinners, those that are alive and those that are dead, spirits and physically? Who's going to judge them? Jesus. But now wait, now watch. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. So the way for me to prepare you for the day when Jesus Christ will judge you is to preach the word.
That's good, man. That's good.
Not preach be good, be nice, be a good neighbor, follow your heart. Preach the word. Amen. Why? Watch this. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and look at verse number 47. Jesus speaking, he says, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Yes, now look what Jesus said. God the Father said, Jesus Christ will judge the quick and the dead. And Jesus said, now let me make it clear. I won't be judging you arbitrarily. I'll be judging you in accordance with the word that I have spoken.
Amen.
And that's why people think, well, you know, God loves me. I don't think he'd send me to hell. God is kind and gracious and loving. I don't think he would ever judge anybody and sentence anybody like a fire. See, here's what you're counting on. The love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God being the basis of your judgment, and it's not. It's the Word of God that is the basis of the judgment. And so here is Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to die for you. But he said, I can't let you off, because right here in my book I said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I must judge you in accord with my Word. So you can't properly, rightly. You can't properly and rightly undervalue the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can't properly and rightly undervalue the Word. The book that God wrote, and we're trying to emphasize that. All right, let's go to Isaiah 28 and Psalm number 18. Isaiah 28 and Psalm 18. Remember the story of David and Goliath, and Saul had a suit of armor, and he wanted David to wear that armor to go out and battle Goliath. And David said, I can't wear that. I haven't tried it. What he meant is, I haven't experimentally proven that it will work. I know the sling works. I know throwing rocks out of this sling, I've been doing that for years. But this armor, I don't know if that'll work or not. Here's what hinders Christians. They have a Bible. They read a Bible. They've never tried the Bible. They know what it says, but they've never actually attempted to do what it says. And so they have doubts about the power of the Word of God. They listen to someone preach who believes the Word of God has the power to change a life. And so they have that information. You know, the preacher says the Word of God has power to change my life, but their life remains unchanged because they've never tried it. Watch this. In Isaiah 28 and verse number 16, this is about Jesus Christ. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. What is he? He's a tried stone. God said, when my Son comes the second time, he will be the cornerstone of my 1,000-year earthly kingdom. Are you sure you can trust Jesus to do that? Yes, I sent him here the first time and tried him. And he proved to me that I could trust him. So Jesus Christ is tried and proven, and that's why the Father can trust him in the future, because he proved himself trustworthy. Now look at Psalm number 18. Psalm 18 and verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. So here's what happens. You're not a believer, you're not a Christian, somebody witnesses to you, and you get the information, and you're not sure if it's true, you're not sure if it's not true, but you give it some thought. You go to church, and you hear the gospel again, and you leave believing the gospel. I think that's true. I think the only way to heaven is Jesus Christ, and I think Jesus could save me if I called on him, but you don't. What do you have? You have the word that you need for salvation, but you're not saved because you won't try it. And then one day, I'm tired of this conviction, I'm tired of this uncertainty, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord to save my soul, and hoorah! Eternal life through Jesus Christ, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, the burden of sins are gone. Isn't that a blessing?
Amen.
And then that process repeats itself 1,000 times in the rest of your life. Here's what the Bible says about that. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Hear it again a few months later. Here's what the Bible says about that. Yeah, that's probably right. I just don't know if I want to live that way. And then finally, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do what God asked me to do.
Good.
And when you try it, it proves itself. Now what happens? The more times you try living scripturally, the easier it becomes to live scripturally, because you've proven to yourself in your own heart that it works. Praise the Lord. So some of you go on our house-to-house visitation, and it was something that you were never going to do because that just wasn't your thing. Some of you take part in public ministry. That's something you were never going to do because I don't even know if that's right. It probably drives more people away than, well, what happened? At some point you heard undeniably from the Word of God that you were supposed to take the gospel to lost people publicly and from house to house. Well, now you got a whole different situation. Now you know the truth and you acknowledge the truth. You just got to try it. And why are people faithful every week to get on our vans and go door knocking? And why are people faithful every week to meet in a public place and preach the gospel who never did it before and never had any interest in it because they tried the Word of God and found it to be true, reliable, trustworthy? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so both Jesus and the Word are tried. Okay, let's speed along here. Hebrews 10 and 1 Timothy 4. Let's get back to that judgment thing, that sword thing. Don't view it negatively. I don't. I'm thankful to God for it. Hebrews 10, 1 Timothy 4. Hebrews 10 and verse number 10, speaking of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. To sanctify means to set apart from a prior use or a prior condition for a new condition that is of use to God. I really don't know who's saved and who's not saved. I really don't. That's God's, Lord, God's in charge of the rapture, not me. Aren't you glad of that? Some of you wouldn't be going if I was in charge. No, I'm just kidding. I might take some people with me that weren't saved. There's some good, decent people out there who don't know the Lord. Yeah. I don't know who's saved and who's not. But what we really need in our land today is saved people who are sanctified.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And the ministers are reorganizing the churches so you don't have to be sanctified.
Yeah.
And what passes for sermons are encouraging people to stay just like they are. Be as worldly as you can be. Be as carnal as you can be. Do anything you feel like doing, and it's okay. And I'm telling you, Jesus wants to set you apart from.
Amen.
When that Passover night took place, and God saw that blood on the doorposts, and spared the Israelites from the death of the firstborn, isn't that wonderful? Isn't it better that he also took them out of Egypt?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Well, you know, we didn't die. We still got our firstborn. But you're still slaves in Egypt. The blood on the doorpost Passover night not only spared your lives, but opened the door so you could escape bondage.
Amen.
Salvation. Sanctification. Now what will sanctify you? The Word of God will sanctify you.
Yes, sir.
I had this thing when I first got saved. I made a list of the sins in my life and prayed every day for God to deliver me from those sins. And several of them I've been able to cross off that list in the last 50 years. I'm really making progress here. Now here's what happened. About the second time through the Bible, that list of sins in my life, it got a lot longer. And after all these years of reading the Bible, why? Because I didn't know how many things in my life were not pleasing to God. I didn't know how many things God wanted from me that I wasn't providing Him. Now, I'm not trying to be cheap here. That list didn't grow because Christ was in me. That list grew because I was in God's book. It was the Word of God that named those transgressions. It was the Word of God that gave those instructions. And the more time I spent in the Bible, listen, I didn't doubt my salvation, and I didn't fear that God was going to chop my head off or anything, but I sure came to realize I got a long way to go if I'm going to be pleasing in His sight. Where did that come from? That came from the Bible. And so the Word of God will sanctify you in a way that salvation, Christ coming to live within, that separated you from the old life, but it didn't separate you from the old conduct. And so I got Romans 6, 7, 8. Praise God, I'm saved by grace through faith, Romans 3, 4, and 5. How come I'm such a mess? Romans 6, 7, 8. Here's how I want you to live, Romans 12 through 16. Well, all that Romans 6 through Romans 16 is for people who are saved so they can get sanctified. What does that? Not receiving Christ as Savior, but taking God's Word to heart. And so both sanctify. Now watch this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Timothy 3, and 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Timothy 3, 15, let's read the 1 Corinthians 1, 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Good truth. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So Christ is our wisdom, but what makes us wise? The Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
The Scriptures. Without a college degree, and I'm not against them, without a course or seminar, and not necessarily against such things, someone who has never had any financial training can live debt-free and retire comfortably, barring some tragic accident, if they'll obey the Word of God.
Yeah.
We have a room full of people here whose parents weren't saved, who grew up in broken homes and have wonderful lifelong marriages. Where'd they get that from? The Bible.
Yeah.
How are we sitting here tonight with all kinds of people the world says we can't get along with? All the things the world is trying to enforce, we just figured out how to do it without a re-education camp. Why? This book will make you wise. It will teach you how to live. It'll teach you how to use your brain. It'll teach you how to not be cuckoo. Honestly. I look at this world. This world, so really, they've lost their collective minds. They really and truly have. You got people from all over the world trying to get here to escape what the people here are trying to vote into power. You gotta be dumb. This book will teach you how to have right relationships. This book will teach you how to make good choices. This book will teach you things You never knew. I hear people say, you know, my dad wasn't very loving. God is love. My home wasn't a very happy home. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. What you aren't by nature, you can be by regeneration and by new birth if you'll let the Word of God have its way in your life. All right, let's move quickly. We are moving quickly. Colossians 1 and 1 Thessalonians 2. Colossians 1 and 1 Thessalonians 2. Colossians 1:29. Wherefore also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Who are we talking about? Verse 28, present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ, if you're saved, is working in you. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What a blessing. What a blessing. If nothing goes wrong, and that's like saying if the sun doesn't come up tomorrow, but if barring any big setback, we will not have our last Sunday night service of next year in this auditorium. We'll have in that auditorium. Now, we were out there on that work night cleanup day, and I was side beside Brother Steve Holt for a minute, and we were talking about the building project that he oversaw in Sierra Leone, where you take the wheelbarrow to the river and dig the clean sand out of the river by hand and put the sand in buckets and wheel the buckets back to the job site and try to make cement block. And you can build a building that way. You know what's really nice? Tools. Power tools, trucks that bring you stuff that's already made. Man, how come that building costs so much? You know what those trusses cost? You want to make them yourself? From the forest? You want to hear Christians say, this Christian's life is so hard. You're not using the tools. You're not using the power tools. You're trying to build a Christian life like you're in Sierra Leone instead of in America. Use the book. Not self-help, not positive thinking, not believe in yourself, not chat groups. Plug in the power tools, man. Oh, I know Christ is working in me. Well, give him something to work with. Scripture. Scripture works in you. People make it harder than it ought to be. 2 Timothy 3 and Luke 1. 2 Timothy 3 and Luke 1. Three more tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Luke chapter number 1. Preacher, you're keeping us so long. I won't do it again the rest of the year. 2 Timothy 3, Luke chapter 1. It's amazing how they tell us it's the end of the year and everybody goes along with it. Could be just tomorrow, not New Year's Day, but not saying it's not. It's just, bless God, I don't believe anything the world says. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Some things you got to play along with. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 5. 3:15. I didn't think 5 looked right. Now from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Jesus Christ was holy. The Scriptures are holy. How come not many believers are holy? This is a holy Bible. Holy Bible. You want to live a clean life? You want to get victory over temptation? Want to stay out of sexual sins as the Bible defines them? Want to stay out of drug addiction, alcohol, abuse? You want to be free from all that? This book will do it.
Yes, sir.
So when I asked Jesus to save me, and He probably did. If you meant it, He saved you. But you want to get holy? Start reading this. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you talk. It'll take dirty thoughts out of your mind, put clean thoughts in your mind. It'll take dirty words out of your mouth, put clean words in your mouth. It'll take dirty attitudes out of your heart, put clean attitudes in your heart. This book will do that.
Amen.
This book will do that. It's a holy book. It's a holy book. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 4, right there in the neighborhood. Is that correct? No, we did that one. Wow, we've only got one more. Sorry, disappoint you. Psalm 43 and Jeremiah 15. Psalm 43 and Jeremiah 15, which is really close to Jeremiah 10, if you've never read that chapter. Psalm 43 and Jeremiah 15. Psalm 43 and verse number 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. You have any joy? Joy in your life? From God? From knowing God? Are you saved?
Yeah.
Isn't it great to be saved?
I guess. That guy isn't doing things the way I want him to.
God, my joy. Jeremiah 15 and verse number 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I think you ought to enjoy God.
Yes, sir.
I think you ought to enjoy the Bible.
Yes, sir.
I think walking with God would give you joy. I think spending sufficient time with God's Word would give you joy.
Amen.
Here's what I like to hear. People walk in, they visit. We get visitors all the time. We had several visitors here this morning, and people come in and they come before church service, and they linger after church service, and they really can't walk out of here and say, well, those people really know the Bible, because they don't. They don't know that. I'm not saying we don't know the Bible, but how could you know that just coming in here and spending a couple of hours? And they don't walk out and say, those people, they're really zealous for the Lord. Well, you couldn't see that here. You, if you followed us around, you might see that, but you can't see that here. But I'll tell you what I hear over and over and over again. This church just seems so happy. People just seem so joyful. And they don't get it, because this world has convinced people that if you saturate yourself with this book, you're going to be grumpy and mean-spirited and have a bad attitude and just mad at the world and nothing suits you. And that's not what this book produces.
Amen.
It produces joy.
Amen.
Be a real bad advertising. Yeah. Imagine an ad campaign. Wendy's burgers, buy one, they're terrible. You never seen a commercial like that in your life. You want to walk? Buy a Kia. Every ad is like, wow, potato chips. What are they trying to tell you? Everybody's smiling. Everybody's happy. You open the refrigerator and a party breaks out in your living room. and you go to church.
At the cross, when I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled my hands.
Come on. If knowing Jesus and knowing his book can't bring you joy, you're never going to have any. It's not going to have any. So it is a great source of joy to know the Lord and a great source of joy to know his word. And so all this is setting you up. We get Bible reading charts if you get one. But Sam Aceball, if I'm not mistaken, Luke Taylor know better than I would. But I'm pretty certain he told me he'd read his Bible through over 150 times. And he didn't get saved till he's 49 years old. He just read it and read it and read it and read it. Old Dan Wright, he was doing wallpapering for years. And he just put those earbuds in, just listen to the Bible, listen to the Bible, listen to the Bible. And I asked him one day, I said, Dan, you how many times through the Bible? He said, well, I've kind of slowed down a little bit now because I'm trying to read it backwards to see if I can see something that I hadn't seen before. And he did. He saw a lot of things. That'd be something. I mean, he just started, just read it word by word backwards from start at Revelation toward Genesis. That's pretty interesting. He might get to heaven, be the only person ever done that. But anyway, we just urge you to read your Bible through. At least try it. It doesn't take that long. If you're a slow reader, it won't take you but a half hour a day. And I mean, that's just one sitcom. Just three segments of fake news. You can give that up.